Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway, and I'm Shamitha Basu, in for Tanzina Vega, who's out on maternity leave. She'll be back next week. It's good to be here with you. You've been on a flight lately? I'm gonna guess the answer is probably no. At the start of 2020, air travel was doing great business. According to CNBC, just months ago, the airline industry had reached its highest employment level in more than 16 years. Today, with a roughly 90% drop in air travel compared to a year ago, the industry has suffered dramatic economic losses. $25 billion in federal relief is being provided to airlines as part of the CARES Act, under the condition that companies do not reduce pay rates or lay off employees. But many of the major airlines have cut their workers' hours in response to the lower demand in flights. And while in recent weeks, airlines have started to see a slight increase in business, many people in the United States just aren't ready to travel long distances on planes or other means like trains. We're hearing from you on this. How comfortable would you feel getting on an airplane right now?
This is Lee calling from Dunedin, Florida. We do not feel comfortable traveling right now, which is a shame because we've got a gorgeous 3-year-old granddaughter in Montana, and we would love to fly out to see her.
My name is Scott, and I live on Vashon Island near Seattle. Tomorrow I'm flying to Boston from SeaTac. I have no concerns about my safety, as I have heard that the airlines are taking excellent care of passengers. All passengers are required to wear a mask, as is the staff, and the jets and the airports are cleaned rigorously every day. Though I will be careful, wash my hands, and take all precautions, I'm not at all afraid.
Hi, my name is Lisa Browdy. I'm calling from Seattle. I would be very nervous about getting on an airplane or a train unless it was required that every passenger had their temperature checked before getting on board, and as long as everybody wore a mask through the whole trip. Since I see that as not terribly likely right now, I'm going to be doing all of my travel by car.
Keep those calls coming at us at 8778-MY-TAKE. Joining me now is Binay J. Wilson, an editor at the travel website The Points Guy. It's great to have you here, Binay.
Thank you for having me.
And also with us is Leslie Josephs, an airline reporter at CNBC. Thanks for coming back on the show, Leslie.
Thanks for having me.
So, Leslie, you heard there our last caller said she won't be getting on a plane unless it's required that every passenger gets their temperature checked and wears a mask. Are either of those measures being required by airlines right now?
Well, so far, major U.S. airlines are requiring masks. That's a new change that started this month. Mm. The challenge with that is, how do you enforce it? Will they kick someone off of a flight? Are they going to divert the flight? Probably not. Airlines are telling their cabin crews, you know, don't essentially create a big fuss if a passenger refuses, but try to talk to them. And these flight attendants are trained in de-escalation. Mm-hmm. So it is a requirement. The airlines are telling people, do not come on board without a mask. Try to wear them in common areas like ticket counters gates near the plane. They're limited in what they can do because this isn't a federal rule.
Yeah, exactly. That was actually my next point. There's no federal body that's sort of setting the regulations for this.
Well, the federal agencies that handle air travel and public health have been discussing this. The Department of Homeland Security, under which TSA sits, is looking at potential passenger temperature checks. Maybe thermal scanning that we've seen in some other airports around the world are starting to see, but nothing has been done yet. So it's kind of this sort of hot potato of which agency is handling what. And what we've seen from FAA, what we've seen from the Department of Transportation, even the CDC is recommendations, which only go so far.
Mm-hmm. So, Binay, what is the experience of traveling on an airplane and traveling through an airport like right now?
It's a lot less crowded. You come in, people have masks on. Most of the workers do have masks on. people are trying to avoid the kiosks. I'm a person that uses my phone for my boarding pass, and I don't check a bag, so I don't have to worry about that. Different rules about spacing through security lines. Some lines are empty, and some lines I've seen photos of just normal TSA lines. Then after you go through, you know, some of the gate, depending on the airport, some of the gate hold areas can look a little crowded. Food areas. I was working on a story about this. Airports are still trying to work out their regulations on how to keep people socially distant in restaurants and in food courts. And then, you know, once you get on the plane, we've all seen that famous photo of United, the packed flight.
Every single seat was filled on that flight.
Yes, after the airline said they were going to try and do some social distancing, although I don't know how you can do that. It's something that should be done, but realistically, you know, that's going to be a challenge.
Yeah. And we talked a little bit earlier about the federal stimulus money. Leslie, how much of a lifeline has that stimulus been for the airline industry?
Well, that's definitely helping them keep stay afloat. But the airlines are also going to the bond market and raising some equity sales and looking for other ways that they could raise money. And they've raised billions. There is appetite to lend money from private markets to airlines. But that money, and the reason why it's important is because it requires airlines to keep their entire staff through September 30th, and they can't cut their pay rates. So their hourly wages are still remaining the same. After September 30th, that's when things are starting to get dicey, and even into the summer, because often employees have to be warned when there's a big layoff coming under state rules. So it is helping them stay afloat, but the summer is the most important season for airlines, the second and third quarters when, you know, the most lucrative for them. Summer vacations, it's when probably the airports are usually most miserable and the planes are at their fullest. But after that point, it's a big question mark. And what happens after that? And some of the executives are already starting to let employees know, you know, we expect to be smaller airlines coming out of this. And it is possible that they do have involuntary furloughs and layoffs.
I know I've been seeing some tantalizingly cheap flight deals in the past few weeks. Binay, are these deals calling you, or are you sort of staying away from them?
They are very, very tempting. I'm a person who loves to travel, but I am not quite comfortable enough yet to pull the trigger.
And what can we think about in terms of the long term for passenger costs?
Well, this is going to have to be paid for somehow. You know, all these the cleaning of the plane, the extra cleaning, the money is going to have to come from somewhere. And 9 times out of 10, that comes with airfare. So I would not be surprised after the summer, once things have kind of calmed down, that we start seeing airfares rise.
Right. And Leslie, I'm thinking about the transition away from person-to-person contact happening in airports. How can we expect this to affect airline security?
Well, the TSA is starting to think about this, but it's a very difficult thing to trace. So you can screen people for temperatures, which of course is a symptom of COVID, and maybe like weed out people that are over 100.4 degrees. And then also maybe if someone is sick, that even just going through that might be a deterrent, but it's not really clear yet what it's going to look like. I mean, it's still up for debate. Like I said, the Department of Homeland Security is looking at those kinds of screenings. We're not at a point where like people are getting mass tested for COVID or mass temperature checked at the airport. But it is likely to add some time to the security check, and also keeping that social distance at airports, security lines, they're trying to space people out. Maybe some checkpoints have closed because the demand for air travel has been so low and is likely to stay low compared with historical levels for a long time. Even with the uptick that we've seen, I think we're still off like 90% from where we were a year ago, you know, the start of the summer, spring and summer travel season. So it is likely to add some time to the process.
Yeah, and do any of the changes that are happening right now raise any new concerns for you when it comes to passenger privacy or even cybersecurity?
Well, airlines have been looking at things like facial scanning instead of a boarding pass for a bit, which has raised privacy concerns and other issues. But since it's a public health crisis and one that has destroyed air travel demand pretty much like nothing else that we've ever seen, airlines are really pushing the sort of the safety angle and looking at things like immunity passports, which, you know, aren't necessarily around the corner, but it, like, once we get mass testing, it's still possible. And travelers, like they have always had to weigh with air travel, have had to weigh privacy versus convenience. And that's going to be a question that every traveler faces when they go off on their trip.
And when you say immunity passports, you're referring to people who have gotten testing for antibodies, right? And maybe have been cleared for having antibodies. How are airlines thinking about that? Is that immunity testing really seen as something that they can give people a sort of immunity pass on?
I don't think that they, one, want to do any of the testing, but it could be something that could be required possibly down the line. It is somewhat theoretical, and it's very early days with testing as well. So if you have the antibodies, are you guaranteed to never get or transmit COVID again? So those are some of the questions, like how effective is it to even have somebody cleared? And it raises all sorts of other issues in terms of privacy.
Yes, yes. Binay, what do you think might be some of the long-term changes to the air travel experience based on this? I mean, a lot of people look back at September 11th as a time when we completely revamped how we go through security. What might we see come out of this?
Well, I think we're going to see a lot more of social distancing as a requirement. I'm saying we're going to see the spots on the floor. We're going to see a lot of more self-help options as far as checking bags and checking in and everything. I think we'll see more people using their mobile phones to do all of these processes. I think we'll see spacing in gate hold areas, although with some older airports that might cause some issues. I also think we will see the way the airport operates as far as foods and airport lounges. There's going to be a lot of changes. You're not going to be able to go up to the soda machine and just get your soda anymore. Things like that.
Actually, you wrote about how there are some new vending machines in airports now, right? With face masks and other sorts of things.
Yes, Las Vegas Airport started a vending machine that has N95 masks, Clorox wipes, hand gloves, all kinds of things.
We'll have to leave it there. Binay J. Wilson is an editor at the travel website, The Points Guy, and Leslie Josephs is an airline reporter at CNBC. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.